Volcano, we thank you for your love and your gratefulness to your compassion for us, God. We are grateful for who you are in our lives. And your presence has been here as we have worshiped today, Lord. We know that you have a word to speak to us. We say, give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart that is willing to respond in faith to the word that you want to impart to us today. And we thank you in Yeshua's name. Amen. So today is part three of our series entitled Great Expectation. And today's message is entitled Expect to be Changed. So this Thursday is Shavuot. And although we will not be able to meet together physically, although we were tempted once we heard yesterday, but we know we need wisdom to finalize our preparation. Rabbi Michael and I want to assure you that and encourage you that we are planning a special online service for Thursday night in lieu of our prayer meeting. So we won't be having the prayer meeting on Thursday, but we will be doing some type of Shavuot celebration together as a community. So that will be information that is coming, it's sent to you as well this week. Because we need to understand that this holiday of Shavuot, it's not just an arbitrary day put on the calendar by our Jewish people. Adonai established this day just as he did all of our other holy days on the calendar. We are told in the scriptures that Shavuot is to be celebrated on the 50th day after Passover. And it says in Bamidbar Numbers 28:26, on the day of first fruits, on your feast of weeks, when you present to the Lord the new cereal offering, you shall hold a sacred assembly and do no sort of work. So that's why we're going to hold a sacred assembly via online on Thursday night in honor of Shavuot. So for us as Messianic believers, this is a holiday that blends two traditions. It is the time of celebrating the giving of the Torah, Siman Natan Simchatenu, but it's also a celebration of the outpouring of the Ruach HaKodesh. And we encourage and recognize that we must have both in our lives. We must be firmly grounded in the Word of God. It is our road way and our roadmap to life, but we must equally be filled with the Ruach because He is the one who enables us to live out the principles of the Bible. So according to Jewish legend, when God spoke the Aseret HaDibrot, the Ten Commandments, on Mount Sinai, it is said that his voice spoke forth in all the languages of mankind, and it took the shape of fiery sparks that encircled the camp of Israel and came to rest on each individual person there. Sound familiar? Wow. And on Shavuot in Acts chapter 2, we are told that the Ruach came into that room and filled those Jewish men and women, that tongues of fire rested on each individual. And of course, all these men and women in this upper room would have immediately connected it to the giving of the Torah on Mount Sinai. That is what happened when they spoke in tongues. In other words, all the languages were heard by the different Jewish people who were in Jerusalem at that time celebrating Shavuot. So the Talmud also tells us that on Mount Sinai, the Jews not only received the Torah, the Bible, but the Creator actually revealed himself to all the Jewish people. And the dead were raised, and the revelation was so unbearably intense that it says that they all died and he had to resurrect them because when they saw the Creator, so this is one of the Midrash and stories. And so from that, we see that tradition tells us the Jewish people actually received three things, you know, at Sinai. The Torah, they experienced the revelation of God himself, and they experienced the dew that raised the dead. So when we think about that context of Jewish tradition behind this holiday and the biblical example, we need to recognize how important this holiday is to us as Messianic believers. We need the life of Adonai to be to breathe fresh and new into us so that we can continue to live out his Torah. Life without the Ruach is hard, and trying to live out the principles of the Bible on our own, it's impossible. Without the Ruach, our emotions overwhelm us, temptations overpower us, and the enemy engulfs us. But with the Ruach and with his power, we can live a victorious life. And that's the reason Yeshua gave for the infilling of the Ruach. And it's all about transformation that we see taking place in the lives of these men and women in the first century congregation. So often when people hear the word spirit, they get this spooky or weird connotation to us. But when we understand the word and its meaning in Hebrew, it takes that connotation away, because we know that, you know, this is not some spooky old ghost, you know, out there. The Hebrew word for spirit is ruach, and that word means wind or breath, and it also means life. And the Ruach Hashem is the breath of Adonai, and he brought us life when we were created. Think back to Bereshit. In Bereshit, Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, it says, V'ha'aretz haita tohu v'vohu, v'choshek al p'nei tahom, v'ruach Elohim irachefet al p'nei mayim. So the earth was void and empty, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of God, mirachefet, hovered over the face of the waters. So he was there, present in creation. And then we are told in chapter 2, verse 7, when Adonai created man, you know, he created the person Adam from the dust of the ground, Adama, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, the Ruach HaKodesh, into us. So we need the Ruach for life, spiritual life and vitality. Just as we need to breathe air every day to live, we need every day to encounter and walk in the presence of the Holy Spirit and his power. We need a fresh touch, friends, of Adonai. Areas of our lives might have become spiritually dead. Many might feel weary and worn out from fighting for your faith and contending with the enemy. On Shavuot, Adonai wants each of us to experience him in a life-changing way. That's the title of this message, Expect to be Changed. He wants to breathe his Ruach into us so that we will be forever changed. Where there is deadness, the Ruach will give life. Where there is weakness, he will give strength. Where there is discouragement, he will give joy. Where there is barrenness, he will give life, totally changing the situation around. Just like happened this week. You know, we spoke about this in one of our daily devotions when we shared the story of Elijah and how the Syrians had attacked and there was no food. And Elijah gives a prophetic word, tomorrow there's going to be such an abundance of food. And he says it's going to just change overnight. And the attendant to the king was skeptical and said there's no way that could happen, even if God opens up heaven, right? And so most of you saw the news, and we certainly posted it, and that's part of the reason why we're going to open on June 6th, is that overnight, literally, it was changed. And now houses of worship are considered essential, which we already knew that we were essential. But overnight, things changed, right? And that's what happens when transformation comes. Things can just turn around. So we want to walk in step with the Ruach HaKodesh. He needs to be present in every day of our life. Have expectation for God to meet you this Shavuot and to do another level of transformation. Shavuot is one of my favorite holidays. I know I probably say that about every holiday, but I love Shavuot, and I'm always looking with great expectation to what God is going to do in each of your lives and for a fresh impartation for myself. So let's look here. We're going to be looking back in Acts chapter 2. You know, we have been counting up towards Shavuot. Tonight will be day 45, I believe, of counting the Omer. So Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. The festival of Shavuot arrived, and the believers all gathered together in one place. Suddenly, there came a sound from the sky like the roar of a violent wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then they saw what looked like tongues of fire, which separated and came to rest on each one of them. And verse 4 says, they were all filled with the Ruach HaKodesh and begin to talk in different languages as the Spirit enabled them to speak. Amen. We have been using this passage for our sermon series these 3 weeks, and there is no doubt that the men and women we read about in this second chapter of Acts were radically changed, a lasting transformation that enabled them to be powerful, powerful witnesses for Hashem. And my prayer is that it will happen for us here at Beth Emanuel in the year 2020. May the wind of the Ruach sweep into our lives and forever change us once again, bringing us to that new level in the Messiah. How did it happen to these people? Friends, it wasn't just enough to show up in that prayer meeting. It wasn't just enough to hear another message being preached. There was something in their hearts that allowed them to receive that impartation that forever changed their lives. And I believe the following attitudes and actions allowed these people in Acts 2 to receive that fresh impartation of Adonai. And as we emulate these, we too can receive and walk in step with the Spirit. The first thing is they let go of their past failures. And I want to focus on Kepha, and often he is the person I go to when I speak on Shavuot. Because we know who Kepha was. He was the outspoken one of the Talmidim. He was quick to give his 2 cents worth of opinion about what was going on. He was spontaneous. He was impetuous. He was always ready to step up to the plate. Remember, he was the only one who stepped out of the boat and walked on water. That's Kepha. So when Yeshua is telling his Talmidim that he is about to die, Kepha swears his loyalty and allegiance like no one else. We have recorded in Luke chapter 22, he said, "Lord, I am prepared to go with you both to prison and to death." And Yeshua says, "Kepha, in reality, you're going to deny me 3 times. And then Mark records it this way. Kepha said, "Even if everyone else loses faith, I won't, Yeshua. You can count on me." And then he says, this is Mark 14, 29 through 31, "Even if I must die with you, I will never disown you." How often have we been like Kepha? "God, I will do anything you ask me to. I will go anywhere you want me to go." We, like Kepha, are adamant about our resolve. "God, everyone else may turn away from you, but not me. You can count on me, God. I'm available, God, for whatever you want of me, and whenever you want it, I will lay down my life for you." But like Kepha, when the time comes, sometimes we fail. We let God down. We don't come through like we told him we would. When he called upon us, we were too busy. We had other things to do. "Come back at a more convenient time, God. Tomorrow I can help." But it was today he was asking me. Or maybe our faith is lacking. It really doesn't. It really doesn't take a lot of faith when everything is going well in your life and everything is going as planned. Faith is really revealed in the midst of tests and trials. We can declare adamantly, like Kepha did, "God, I believe you, I trust you," only to find that our faith is shaken in the midst of the trials, and we can easily give in to doubt and unbelief like Kepha did. Or maybe when you entered that personal relationship with God and you were filled with passion, "God, you are the lover of my soul. There is no one like you." We cried out, "God, I want more of you. Only you can satisfy, God. There's nothing on this earth that means more to me than you do." And then we fill our lives with everything else but God, and we become so busy doing our own thing that we have little time left to receive his love or to love him. So like Kepha, we experience failure. We have failed to let God down, and some people begin to carry this weight around on them. And Kepha understood what he did that night. When we read in Mark 14 about what happened the night of Yeshua's death, it says Kepha was in the courtyard, and one of the servant girls of the Kohen HaGadol came and saw Kepha warming himself and took a look at him and said, "You were with that man from Netzarah, Yeshua." But he denied it, saying, "I haven't the faintest idea what you're talking about." Then he went outside and the rooster crowed once. The girl saw him there and started telling the bystanders, "This fellow is one of them." And again he denied it. And a little later, one of the bystanders said, "You must be one of them because you're from the Galil." And at this, he began to invoke a curse on himself as he swore, "I do not know this man you are telling me about." And immediately the rooster crowed a second time. And Kepha remembered what Yeshua had said. And he threw himself down and burst into tears, recognizing what he had done. Today, Adonai is calling us to release ourselves of our past failures. Kepha had to let go of that. In order to receive impartation, he had to let go of his past failures. He had to let go of the fact that he had denied Yeshua three times. And God is calling each one of us to let go of any past failure you have. Any sin, if you need to repent today of certain things, then repent, but move on. Kepha and the others, all the Talmidim abandoned Yeshua, would never have received the fresh impartation if they did not let go of their failures. They had to let go in order to receive what God had. The second thing I see in these Talmidim is a passion and hunger for him and his presence. The psalmist puts it this way in Tehillim, Psalm 63. "O God of my life, I am lovesick for you in this weary wilderness. I thirst with the deepest longings to love you more, with the cravings in my heart that can't be described. Such yearning grips my soul, O my God. I am energized every time I enter your heavenly sanctuary to seek more of your power and drink in more of your glory." You see, these Talmidim in the first century, they were willing to never be normal again because more than anything else, they wanted an encounter with God that would forever change them. But to them, it was more than a one-time thing. It was a lifestyle that they chose to live. They were radical for the Lord. It leaps off the pages of the book of Acts when you read about this first century Kehillah. It wasn't just an emotional experience they had at one time there in Acts chapter 2. It wasn't about manifestations, how much they spoke in tongues, or wept, or fell to the ground. It was about living a life 100% sold out to Adonai. God became everything to them. For too many modern-day believers, God has not become everything. He has just become part of our lives. And there is a big difference, my friend. We cannot compartmentalize God and put him in, this is God's space and time. God wants to be in every area of our life. And they were going to give God all to follow him. That's what Kepha did. Acts 5:42 says, "Not for a single day, either in the temple courts or in private homes, did they stop teaching and proclaiming the good news of Yeshua the Messiah." Their passion did not wane because of persecution. It only grew. Look through the book of Acts. Every time they were persecuted, they found it a joy to be persecuted for the name of Messiah. When you're passionate for Adonai and his presence, when you're sold out 100%, then nothing of this world will have a hold on you. But Rabbi Carol, this is a little bit too much. God doesn't expect me to quit living. I have to work. I have to go to school, provide for my family, take care of my home, have family time, etc. To which I say, you are right, most certainly. But so did that first century believers. They didn't stop living. They didn't stop having time with their family. They didn't stop working their jobs. one does not negate the other. And often that's what the enemy will try to make us think. Oh, you know, if you give God 100%, that means you can't pursue your dreams. Wrong. When I give God 100%, he helps me to pursue my dreams because he tells me as I delight myself in him, he will give me the desires of my heart. So when that enemy is sitting on your shoulder and telling you, oh, you can't give 100% to God because you will not be able to live your life, you tell him you're a liar and the father of lies, and I will not listen to you. God will reward you abundantly when you lay your life in his hands. You know, I left my family on April 5th, 1983. That'll be 40 years next April. My mom was scheduled to come here this month to celebrate Mother's Day with my family. And it would have been the first Mother's Day I celebrated with my mom in 39 years. That's a long time, friends. So I do know what it is to give things up for God, but I can tell you that God has blessed me with the family here at Mishpacha, here at Beth Emanuel, and that God will always be with us. And being sold out to him, understanding that he will sow into us so much more than what we think we are giving up. God is worthy of all of my heart and my affections. So we need to have that hunger and that passion in order to receive the impartation. Passion means I'm not satisfied with the status quo. I want more of God in my life, friend. I want to experience more of the Ruach every day of my life. Hunger means there's this deep yearning for more of Adonai. That sensing, as we have heard in so many different occasions, that there must be more. Yes, like the early Talmudim, we have a relationship with God. Yes, my name is written in the book of life. So was theirs. But I have a desire for more. And God desires to give me more. A fresh impartation. And I'm ready to receive that. And I want to encourage you to be ready to receive what God has to give you this Shavuot. And for many of you who maybe have not experienced the impartation of the Ruach HaKodesh, whether you're from Beth Emanuel or you're listening to this on our podcast or on our YouTube or Facebook channel, God wants you to receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And in doing so, it will begin a lifelong journey of being continually changed and transformed into his likeness and image. That's why I love Shavuot. But it's not just about one day. The reality is every day of our life, we can encounter and walk in step with the Ruach and be changed and transformed every day as we stay in relationship and as we allow ourselves to be transformed by the Spirit of God. Sort of like Jacob, remember when he wrestled with the angel, he said, God, I'm not going to let go until you touch me. Friends, that's the attitude we need to have. God, I am passionate for more of you. Yes, on this Shavuot 2020, I want to experience something I have never experienced. And I have celebrated Shavuot for many, many years. But my heart is filled with expectation that he is going to do something fresh and new for me personally this year. And I believe he's going to do something new for you this year on Shavuot 2020. But it's not going to stop just on Shavuot. It's going to walk, be done every day of your life. Again, we see in that first century congregation, day after day, they continue to walk and to experience the presence and power of the Holy Spirit in their lives. And the last thing to receive that impartation is simply to yield ourselves. Mishlei Proverbs puts it this way, in chapter 22, verse 4, laying your life down in tender surrender before the Lord will bring life, prosperity, and honor as your reward. Again, the enemy wants us to think that, oh gosh, if I surrender everything, ooh, I'm going to have a horrible life. No, 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 no. The scriptures tells us that's not true. Again, listen to Michelet, Proverbs 22, verse 4. Laying your life down in tender surrender before the Lord will bring life, prosperity, and honor as your reward. Your life is going to be fuller. Your life is going to be greater. And you will walk in your purpose and destiny. You know each of you have a purpose and destiny. We have shared this so many times here at Beth Emanuel. And walking and yielding to the Holy Spirit just means that destiny and purpose is going to be greater. So that first century Talmudim, they yielded to Adonai and his promise to them. They believed it was for them. So they let go of all their doubt and unbelief. They let go of the failures of their past. And they said, God, we are here to receive, plain and simple. Rabbi Michael encouraged us on this in his message last week. You just have to be ready to receive. It was a simple choice of their will, something we often feel God would override. He's not. My will has to say, God, I'm yours. I'm the vessel, and you can fill me full and overflowing. There's a little story I want to share with you as I prepare to close, about a little boy who was playing with a very valuable vase of his mother's, and he put his hand in the vase and he couldn't get it out. So his father also tried to get his hand out, but to no avail. So they were actually thinking of breaking this very valuable vase when the father said, son, let's try this one more time. Open your hand and hold your fingers out as straight as you can, and then I'll pull your hand out. And to everyone's surprise, the little boy said, oh, no, Dad. I can't put my fingers out straight like that, because if I did, I would drop my dime. Often we are like that little boy. We are holding on when we simply need to let go. That's what yielding is. Let go of your perceived, your perceptions, excuse me, of what it's going to look like and what God is going to do. Just let go. Say, God, I'm yours. Yielding is not a difficult thing. It is not giving up your dreams and plans. As Michelet said, I shared just a minute ago, yielding, surrendering is going to bring good things into your life. One person described yielding as yes in every little detail. And these people simply said yes to God. It was a natural byproduct of their passion. If I am passionate about God and his presence and his kingdom, the logical step from there is to yield. We want to encourage you, expect to be changed. Let go of any failures. Stir up the passion in your heart this week, friends, and just yield. Say, God, I'm here. Fresh impartation. It's going to be different. Nobody's going to lay hands on you this Shavuot, but we are going to encourage you as we meet on Thursday night to just open up your hands and your hearts to receive from God. And what's the fruit of that first century congregation receiving that transforming power of the Spirit into their lives? Looking again to Acts chapter 2, towards the end of the chapter, verses 43 and on, it says, everyone, can you say with me, everyone? Everyone was filled with awe, and many miracles and signs took place through the emissaries. They praised God, and having the respect of all people, that means non-believers as well, and day after day, the Lord kept adding to them those who were being saved. Fruitfulness. Friends, that's what happens as you yield to God. Your life will be fruitful, and God has good things for you. That was the purpose, and that was the fruit seen in their lives. May it be so in this congregation as well. May it be so for you. Friends, expect to be changed this Shavuot. God wants to take each of us to the next level in him. No matter where you're at, no matter how many Shavuots you have celebrated, this Shavuot, God's going to take you to a new level in him. So expect something to happen on Thursday night. Amen. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you love us and that you sent us the wonderful gift of your Ruach HaKodesh. And Lord, we have been counting with expectation, and we are looking forward to Shavuot this Thursday night, God, knowing that you are going to do something so awesome.